Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In addition to Andrew Cuomo and Zephyr Teachout, there will be a third candidate on the September 9th Democratic primary ballot for governor of New York. He is activist and former political satirist Randy Cretico, who has become something of a professional candidate in New York in recent years, running as a Democrat or a Libertarian or sometimes on other party lines for Senate against Chuck Schumer in 2010, mayor of New York last year, and now governor. He calls himself the most progressive candidate for governor of New York since FDR, with a platform that includes raising the minimum wage, lowering bus and subway fares, free SUNY and CUNY tuition, close Attica and Indian Point, repeal the Rockefeller drug laws, legalize marijuana, and have a Medicare for all healthcare system. Randy Cretico, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian. It's great to be here.
Want to dive in on any of those campaign positions or your notion generally of being the most progressive candidate for governor since FDR?
Well, I say that also. I really prefer to say the great William Seward is my model for governor in this state. But I would say because FDR's position on creating jobs, we need to create jobs in this state. And the only way to do that right now is with a massive tax, not a massive tax, but just a 1% tax on Wall Street, the Tobin tax. We need to raise money from rich people, and we need to create. That's the biggest problem in this state right now is the lack of jobs. If you're in Buffalo, if you're in Watertown, or if you're in Syracuse, Rochester, Hempstead, it is a problem. We have a huge unemployment rate in this state. They say it's like 7 or 8%, but if you take a look behind the numbers, it's a lot greater than that. And FDR had, on a national level, not so much on a state level, on a national level, I would like to put in that model.
Zephyr Teachout is running to the left of Cuomo explicitly. Do you see yourself as to the left of her? Is that an important dynamic?
Yes. She's so obsessed with this Moreland Commission, which is really diverting attention from the economic crisis that we face. I think, particularly since she is a professor of law, that she should put that on the side until something palpable comes out regarding this Moreland Commission. It's too much of a diversion, and it really is about the economy, stupid, as Bill Clinton once said, and I'm not talking to you, and that's what we should be focusing on the economy and the problem with the police, racial profiling, taxation. We have a lot of regressive taxes, such as lotto. Lotto is the biggest scam going. You're shaking down poor people. Instead of using that money to create jobs, that money they can spend on goods and services. But you go to any part of the state, it's the poorest sections in the state that play lotto. And it takes in $9, $10 billion a year, and it only gives out $1 billion for school subsidies.
Is there a fiscal unreality, though, to your campaign position taken together? Lower bus and subway fares, free CUNY and SUNY tuition, Medicare for all, that's free government health insurance now reserved for the elderly and disabled. What's the price tag for all that, and where would all the money come from?
Well, the money would come from corporations. We'd have to repeal 421A and make these companies really pay their fair share. We'd have to have a progressive real estate tax, and if we were to have the Tobin tax, a 1% sales tax on Wall Street transactions, we could raise $40 billion a year in this state alone. And I know what you're going to say. Well, all these corporations are going to leave. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? They said that in California, that they were all going to leave when they started taxing the rich there. Nobody left. And it would be better for the state to tax the rich, for the rich, to live in an environment where people are working, people are happy, rather than this huge gap, this huge economic gap that is really destroying the fabric of every city in the state.
You mentioned 421A, and that's an obscure reference to most of the listeners. But when we say 421A, we usually are referring to the real estate law that mandates or encourages developers to include like 20% affordable housing with their new units. What were you getting at with 421A?
Well, 421A, they, you know, a lot of them find a way to get around it. I'm talking about 421A, the real estate break that they get, whether it be the Mets, the Nets, or the other team, Knicks, or you know, all the sports teams, they have the 421A, or the 57 West on Central Park, they have the 421A.
A break on their real estate taxes, in other words.
Right, right. So they promise to build affordable housing, and they keep pushing, kicking the can down the road, and the political will is not there to make these people pay what they really should be paying. Somebody else is paying a higher rate in that same neighborhood where that $90 million apartment is on 57 West, just like right down the street, paying a higher rate of income tax per square foot than they are, all because of 421A.
Not worth it to get affordable units built?
Well, they don't do it. That's the problem. Tell me how many affordable units have been built over there by the Atlantic Yards.
Actually, well, yeah, supposedly they're at least going to do it. 57 West, that's not even on the agenda.
Right.
Tell us, and my guest is Randy Credico on the Democratic primary ballot for governor of New York. Why do you keep running for high office? If I can assume you don't think you'll actually win, are you trying
this
to keep
a... I think I'm going to win. I think I can win this time.
Are you trying? You think you can win? You think you can get more votes? Then why don't you think you're going to split the progressive vote with Zephyr Teachout and enable Cuomo?
I don't think she's that progressive. You know, she comes from a well-to-do family in Vermont. Howard Dean really wasn't that progressive. He retroactively was against the war in Iraq.
But she worked with the Dean campaign. That's why you bring up Howard Dean.
I bring that up. She supported Obama after the Wall Street bailout, after the surge, after the NDAA, after H.R. 347. She still supported Obama. She supported Cuomo. And she will not rule out supporting Cuomo. Right now, I have ruled out supporting Cuomo if I lose the primary. I've ruled it out. I will support Howie Hawkins because his position, I'm not, you know, the Democratic Party is not much different now than it was in the 1850s, 1860s, where they were called dough-faced Democrats in this state or copperhead Democrats. And that's the kind of Democratic leadership we have in this state right now. And I even say the city, they're not really that progressive. And I am the progressive. So Ms. Teachout has not laid out an economic plan. She obsesses with this Moreland Commission, which I would prefer that she talk about other issues, police brutality, racial profiling statewide, the state of our prisons. You know, Dostoevsky said, you know, you can judge a society by the conditions of the prisons. You go up to Attica, you go to Sing Sing, and I've been to all these prisons. I've been in the state for 37 years. I've been to most of the prisons when I was running the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice. These prisons are really medieval. They're all like the Bastille, but the Bastille still actually had better conditions because the people there were rich and they were in there for letters of cachet. And then Rikers is a complete mess, you know. And so why isn't there a state investigation of Rikers? Or I was in Brooklyn, not Brooklyn, but Bronx Central Booking the other day for 28 hours, worse than the Nicaraguan jail I was in 25 years ago.
Randy Credico, Democratic primary candidate for governor, my guest on WNYC. Teachout would probably say, not that I want to get too much back and forth going between you and her, but she would probably say she was on a lot of these same issues primarily when she was running against Cuomo for the Working Families Party nomination. Before the Moreland Commission thing really broke, now she's added that to her repertoire of issues, she might say. But if you really wanted to win an election, you could run for a local office, but you keep running for governor, mayor, U.S. Senate primary against Schumer.
I did very well, you know, against Bill de Blasio
in
that race. I got 3% of the vote. Sal Albanese got 0.5%. I didn't spend a nickel. I still got 14,000 votes without spending any money. I didn't get a lot of airtime.
In the Democratic primary.
In the Democratic primary, I did very well. Against Schumer, Schumer knocked me off the ballot in 2010. So that's what happens. You know, my signatures, I got sandbagged. I don't like Schumer's policies. I didn't like his support of the war in Iraq and the war. You know, it's my way. I'm an organizer. I am really a community organizer. 15 years fighting for racial and social justice in this state. I mean, longer than that, actually. But the years that I worked organizing families of prisoners against the Rockefeller drug laws, I worked very hard on that. You know,
that's been your main issue over the years, really, drugs, right? Here and in Texas, the drug laws, am I right?
Well, yes, the Texas, the Tulia, Texas. You know, I got an award from the Texas chapter of the NAACP. I got an award from the Union Square Award for my work on the Rockefeller Law. I got an award from the Drug Policy Alliance, and the greatest award I ever got, and this goes to the whole Kuntzer family because we work together. It's Margie, Bill's widow, and her two kids, Sarah and Emily, who've been on your show, and that's from the Madres de Plaza de Mayo in Argentina. Gave us an award because they inspired us. I went down there in 2000 with Tony Papa, an ex-prisoner, went down there, and we brought up four mothers of the Plaza de Mayo here, 80-year-old women whose kids had died because of their activism. They came to New York. They met with Bruno. They met with Silver. They met with Pataki. And you know what? They got the job done. That same year they were here, Bruno was propelled to actually do something, and there were some modifications to the drug laws in 2004. And they're listening right now, by the way, the Madres de Plaza de Mayo down there with my good friend who listens to your show every single day. His name's Sergio Kernan, and he is the editor of Pagino 12, and he's from Little Falls, New York.
Do I have it right that you also tried to run as a libertarian for mayor of New York last year?
No.
I got that from your Wikipedia page. That's wrong.
No, somebody put that in there. I have no idea. No, I did not run. I'm not with the Libertarian Party. Try drafting me. But look, I know some of the guys, but I am a Democrat, but I'm a left-wing Democrat.
You didn't seek the Libertarian nomination for governor this year,
not.
As it says?
Do you use Wikipedia as a source?
I'm asking you the question. That's why I'm asking.
No. I'm sorry, Brian. I did not. No, I did not seek it last year.
Okay. You had a comedy career that included doing stand-up on The Tonight Show and more. Are you done with that, or is that still part of your life?
No, I still, you know, I call it political satire. You know, I am, when the people say comedy, they think of like Chuckle the Clown. I am not one of those comics. I've done nothing but political humor, political activism. When I was on the Tonight Show in 1984, I had an incredible set. I spent the entire 7 minutes focusing on the war in Nicaragua. And when I was in Nicaragua, I was there for 4 years back and forth. They took comedians there to raise money for the Sandinistas. I'm a proud Sandinista supporter back then. I'm not happy with them now, but back then they made some incredible strides, and I had an organization called Humorous Against War, and we traveled the entire country doing comedy. It was like a USO show, but it was a US out show back then. And so my comedy, I could have made a lot of money because I do incredible impressions. David Fry influenced me. I started out with Nixon in 72, and I'm not going to do it for you right now, but in 72, and I worked Vegas for a long time. And then Red Buttons in 1980, after Reagan had won that landslide and turned out all those great senators like Frank Church, he said, you've got to go to New York. And so I came to New York, and out of New York, I got the Tonight Show. And it was one line in particular that got me in deep trouble there. And that, I was talking about the U.S. Ambassador, Jean Kirkpatrick. You want to hear the line?
Yeah, for people who don't know that history, she was a very conservative Reagan U.N. ambassador, Jean Kirkpatrick, and?
And I said that right in the middle, after I got this huge ovation, I said, Jean Kirkpatrick, she, you know, interesting character. You know, when you analyze some of the things she says, you have to ask yourself seriously, did Eva Braun die in that bunker in 1945?
Oh, that's harsh.
So, you know, I did not get back on that show, but I did get on Charlie Rose's show. I did write the Richard Belzer show in 1997. And then I said, you know what? Back then I was using powder, white powder, you know, occasionally. I did it on that show. And I decided that to get clean, get off of that. And then I went down to Florida to get clean, of all places, ironically. And I saw this guy on the 150-year anniversary of de Tocqueville's journey through the penitentiary system in America, and he ended up Mr. Lamb in Sing Sing, and there was a guy by the name of Tony Papa there. He had just done 12 years for what I had just done. Just got out of prison, this great painter, got out, painted his way out, and I got him into the corner. I said, Tony, what can we do about the Rockefeller laws? And we started organizing families, and that was the greatest change in my life. But I still do comedy. I do a lot of benefits. I do one-nighters. I do voiceovers. I work for Sid and Marty Krofft Pictures in Los Angeles, voiceovers for a lot of their projects.
You said you did Nixon. Do you do Andrew Cuomo?
I do the best Andrew Cuomo in the world. Let me tell you something. that there's going to be a debate. I believe that it's important to have Randy Critico there. You can't have Rob Astorino. He's already won the Republican nomination. What is the point? He's not up for grabs on September 9th. He's already got it.
Did you vote for Obama for president?
No.
You didn't?
No. The last Democrat I voted for was George McGovern.
Did you vote for anybody in 2008 or 2012?
Yes, I voted for the Green Party. I voted for the Green Party. The Democratic Party is the party of the surge. It's the party of, in this city, broken windows. It's the party of the war. It's the party of drones. I'm not with that party anymore. I'm a Democrat, but I am the left of the Democrats. Miss Teachout is more moderate. Look at the background. My father, let me see, Andrew Cuomo's father built prisons, 37 when he was in office in those 12 years. Miss Teachout's mother is a judge. She puts people in prison. My father did 10 years in prison before I was born. I know what prison does to a human being and to their family. It destroyed our family. Even though he was a great guy and he ran a huge multiplex nightclub in Southern California where I got to hang out with Louis Armstrong, Stuff Smith, and also Ray Charles, Sonny and Cher. They were all there. Everyone worked there. Bobby Darin. And that's why I got the showbiz bug. But because my father was in that prison, because he worked a ward, he worked as a male nurse in the tuberculosis ward in Ohio State Penitentiary in 1932 to 42, and it was 100% African American. Now, here's a guy who came from a clannish Italian neighborhood in Cleveland. And because of that experience, my father was the most progressive on issues of race. And thank God for that. And then, of course, meeting William Kunstler in 1986. Those two Williams made a huge change in my life.
Randy Critico running as what he says it would be the most progressive governor of New York since FDR, running in the Democratic gubernatorial primary on Tuesday, September 9th. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.